Hello and welcome to Architecture Masters at Home. I'm Owen Wainhouse.
And I'm Tamsie Thompson.
Welcome to our second episode of Architecture Masters at Home. Today we wanted to talk a little bit about our theme for this year. People will have seen the theme online, they'll have seen it everywhere, I guess. Do you want to just tell us what the theme is and why the theme is what it is?
So the theme for this year is power, which when we chose it, which seemed such a long time ago, we were really interested in three main...
That, do you remember that thing about Brexit that was happening at the time and like general elections and mayoral elections? Wow.
So long ago. Yes. So we were interested in political power, which seems to be taken a back seat in the last few weeks in terms of the headlines of the conversations. But certainly, as you said, Brexit, mayoral elections, everything else we wanted to encompass in this year. And then alongside that, we were really interested in debate around climate change, issues around sustainability in the built environment, and power seemed to encompass that in a really good way, both in the very kind of literal way of how you power cities, but also how and who makes the decisions around those issues, and how coalitions like Extinction Rebellion have been able to harness people power to raise these issues on the agenda and to start to affect change, certainly change in public opinion, if nothing else. So, which brings us on to the third issue of power, which is people. And so who has the power, who wants the power, and then how that relates to our built environment, what that means in estate regeneration, what that means in terms of the public realm, what that means in terms of how our city is governed, who governs it, and who gets a say in the development or regeneration of any part of it.
And I was really interested as well in this idea about, you know, the idea of architects being at the centre of development. You know, the kind of the very word architect has like been stolen maybe by the like IT sector as like the architect of like software design or the architect of change. But actually, there's this question about, have architects given away their power? You know, that the kind of project management has been hived off. And is it, you know, is that something, I guess, for us to explore in the festival? You know, is it because they've given away power because it was the bits of architecture they weren't really interested in or didn't really enjoy? And is it the most successful architects who have really grasped that role of power and the different role of the architect?
The size of that is also how the architect's perceived by the client and by the wider industry and what that means for their power, kind of particularly thinking of design and build contracts, other forms of procurement where one architect designs a scheme which gets planning and then they lose the power and the control over that scheme as it actually goes into development and is built, and what that means for our city. Yeah. As well as that kind of powerlessness of architects to see their visions through.
Do you talk about kind of London's built environment as power and about the kind of, you know, Buckingham Palace or Downing Street? I mean, you can't pick any more of a metaphor than, you know, if, certainly around Brexit, the Houses of Parliament being covered in scaffolding and literally our seat of power is being kind of held up by by like building materials. That like, you know, certainly St Paul's Cathedral and, you know, the power that the church had or once had or still has, you know, in terms of its
but I think also with London its power is like layered in at less visual or less visually obvious ways as well. So the kind of the story of the Great Fire of London and their plans for redevelopment after that, and the wiggle on Regent Street, which was supposed to be a kind of Haussmann-esque boulevard, which isn't because of land ownerships and the inability of the state to be able to kind of override that kind of private ownership, unlike in other countries.
Powerlessness of the state in that, yeah.
Yeah, and how your kind of political and legal system and the powers of your political and legal system get written into the master plan of the city. Yeah. So why the City of London still has a medieval street plan, more or less, and why Regent Street has its wiggle.
Yeah. There's no, I suppose we've got, yeah, Trafalgar Square, but no kind of Arc de Triomphe as a, symbol of national power in quite the same way there.
No, in plenty of streets you can still barricade.
So that's power. We think the community have got it. Certainly our festival organisers have got it in the volume of events that they've submitted. But do you think power is changing within the profession? I mean, that's the other thing we've not really talked about is, we've, as a festival, I guess, talked about it a bit, but, the idea of who holds the power within the profession, it's changing from a...
I think so. And I think one of the really interesting things this current situation is we don't quite know the impact it will have on those power kind of balances within practices. You know, one of the things that, you know, we hear time and time again around the lack of representation of women in senior roles is about needing to do reduced hours, needing to do homeworking, and how lots of practices have not been flexible enough to enable that to happen, quite frankly. And lots of excuses have been made around that, which potentially are about to get washed away by the tide of history. So how we emerge as a kind of wider industry from that, I think, is really interesting, because technology and other things are going to have to be put in place to facilitate that across a practice. And then once you've done that, in 6 months' time, can you really go back to saying that everyone has to work kind of normal office hours? So I think that's really interesting. I think one thing that I'm kind of fascinated with, I was talking to my brother who does a lot of VR type stuff and tour visuals and animation, and how in the kind of entertainment industry they're looking at the possibilities of VR very quickly now, because obviously people can't go to concerts and other events that they would have done. And I think there's a massive opportunity for us as an industry as well around the use of VR, how we communicate with clients.
Opportunity for the profession to seize back power, if they want it, that power is there for the, there's that whole saying about, power is never given away,
but
it has to be taken. And, there's perhaps an opportunity here for the profession to seize back control and influence and power.
Yeah. And I think this, in this situation, obviously normal power structures generally are going to be questioned.
And you start, talking about power, you're talking about, the military coming in potentially to, keep people in their houses and to keep people in their buildings. And,
I would never have believed a year ago that I would see France and Spain and Italy on kind of lockdowns where you're not able to get out of your house. It's kind of things that were unthinkable are now actually happening. And there's very much all around who holds those power.
As we come out of this lockdown and these kind of changes, the whole profession, the whole wider world, I guess, is going to be at a point of inflection, and power systems are going to change, and who controls things is up for grabs, I guess.
Yeah, and the longer it goes on, probably the more those the change will happen. And we're all going to have really different experiences. Our entire kind of life cycle on a kind of weekly routine is completely changed. Most of us still go out of the home to kind of work or study. And all of that is now not going to happen. So what does it mean on a domestic scale as well, and how you use that space and how you think about the space, and what kind of routines and systems and processes will we kind of want to go back to?
It's interesting you were judging the NLA's Don't Move, Improve.
I know, I'm really jealous right now of some of those people in those houses. I'd happily swap
to be trapped in there. But again, it's a really interesting thought about as we do come out of this, thinking they want architects to change the place they live, or indeed actually even whether we'll see people wanting to move to the country, or whether people wanting to trade up for more space, or
I think we've all kind of chosen lifestyles within certain parameters, of course, but that suit a lifestyle that we're currently no longer living. So inevitably it's going to make people question all sorts of things.
And architects are going to be absolutely at the forefront of, you know, how we work, how we change, you know, how we work, how we live. Those decisions that we made. And I guess maybe this is a bit of a plea from the festival that the community comes forward and seizes power when it becomes available or when it's there to be taken. You know, we've seen so much crap building, you know, that's been put up without any input from architects. You know, so much gets built without any thought that actually this is maybe an opportunity for the profession to wrestle back the power from the money, you know, from where it's been before. And that actually...
Yeah, I mean, there's a fantastic statistic, which of course I can't remember. I'm gonna
make it
avoid
up.
Making 80, up on the spot
80% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah,
just make it up.
But it's something like that, of houses which aren't in any way designed or seen by an architect.
Yeah.
And people are now locked in those properties. And there is so much about a well-designed space that actually is going to make people's lives better.
Yeah.
You know, good storage, good acoustic barriers, space to be able to work within the home, potentially space for two people to be able to work within the home now. And I'm not talking about, you know, everyone having individual studies. I'm talking about spaces where, you know, you have good natural light and you're able to have some form of desk and that sort of thing. You know, and houses that are well designed are flexible and accommodating. And unfortunately, a lot of the housing that we've seen built in recent years, particularly the kind of some of the smaller one bed flats and stuff that have been put up, just don't have that kind of flexibility. And people are going to be confronting that right now.
So on that note, I think we leave
that happy note.
On that happy note, I think we leave with a positive, and I think we end this
second
episode.
Bought myself a copy of Machiavelli's The Prince just so I can get really up to date with power in this period.
We should be encouraging other architects to think about, yeah, architects in the wider profession to think about what is the profession they want to see when we come out of all of this and how are they.
But also us as kind of individuals and kind of citizens, I can't think of a better word, I know we're technically not, but citizens of London think about how we want, what is the city that we want, and do we feel comfortable with how things are? You know, what can we learn from what's done well and what's done less well, and how can we be more active in shaping it to be the city that we want going forward?
Great. So people can, the festival is open for business. We're all operating remotely, but people can... They can find the phone number on the LFA website. They can email us info@londonfestivalofarchitecture.org. We're really keen to hear from people, to start talking to people. We will, in the next episode, have another guest on, and we will begin bringing you some new stories. And we will bring you some new stories from architecture masters at home. I'm Owen Wainhouse.
And I'm Tamsie Thompson.
I'll see you on the next episode.